Yeah, I thought it was just tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we'd like to kick off.
Yeah, I like it. I agree.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I'm glad to be here. I'm very thankful for, again, my name's Russell Brandon, for those that I don't know, and I'm really, it's always a blessing and a pleasure to be here with everyone. And I think from the standpoint of the movement model, it's the Jesus, Paul, Timothy movement model in terms of investing in your life in terms of the discipleship movement, right? And for me, that's been in the story of a guy hanging out with a guy. First of all, getting to know Jesus and meeting Jesus and living with Jesus and becoming intimate with Jesus and learning that from a guy that started with me, and that was Randy Beck in the back of the room. And he started hanging out with me and started imparting the life of Christ in myself. And of course, Jay Baker started imparting the life of Christ into Randy Beck. And so that lineage came along down that line. Mr. Dave as well, in that lineage as well. So, and then I got to meet this guy named T.J. Horner in Beaumont, Texas. And we started hanging out. And so the idea was around in terms of going through the Operation Timothy books with Randy, and I was a mess. Some of y'all know my testimony, but I was a mess, and so Randy had his hands full in terms of imparting the life of Christ in my life, but I was learning the nuts and bolts of the Bible, and that's really ultimately was the process, right, of truly understanding that. And understanding a life with Christ. And I'm so excited for this weekend. And we're going to get to hear from these guys, these spiritual giants that I've got to hang out with most of my life in terms of my walk with Christ and how they've imparted into me. So y'all are going to be in for a treat for that for sure. But I started meeting with TJ. And we started...
He was a mess still.
And we started hanging out and going through Operation Timothy together, and then was there for his wedding and his children, and just being a part of his life and that whole journey was such a blessing, right? And then I got shipped out overseas, and then we didn't meet as much, but Randy started meeting with TJ and started continuing to encourage him and be with him. And then I came back from overseas, and then we got connected again. And then he started meeting with this guy named Jeremy, wherever Jeremy went. Oh, there's Jeremy. Okay. And that started working. And so, I just remember Dave always telling me that you don't have a disciple until your disciple is discipling another guy. And so that's when I started really learning what discipleship was really about. And how I was truly continuing to pour into TJ, who was pouring in to Jeremy, and of course Randy was continuing to pour in me. And so this movement is a very, very special thing. It's a movement of, it's God moving in the midst of these men. And it is powerful because it's that Isaiah 60:22. Who knows that verse? The least... Who wants to give me that verse, Isaiah 60:22?
The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest of mighty nation. I am the Lord, in my time I will do this swiftly.
That's right. So the vision, and understanding that vision, and this movement, and the fact that it all starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ, and the intimacy with Christ, and if you were hearing from Rick, you'd be hearing the wheel and making sure you're staying in that center. And that center is Jesus Christ. And so, but it's an absolute joy to be able to participate with God in what He's doing in men's lives. And to be able to walk alongside them, impart the life of Christ to them, and see them do that same thing. Because that's when TJ got the vision. He got the vision when he started hanging out with Jeremy. And then Jeremy got the vision. He started going and hanging out with another guy, and he started discipling another guy. And then the vision started going. And I'm just blessed to have all these guys from Beaumont this weekend and to see how God's moving in Beaumont, Texas, because of one guy that was faithful, because that guy was faithful, because this guy was faithful, that guy was faithful, and things have been moving. So there's the moving model. Thank you.
So if one of you guys is faithful, the thing falls apart.
I'll use another guy.
Thank you, Russell.
Thank you.
I was talking to TJ when we first got here out on that porch, and we had a good conversation about what Russell just talked about, and how that, if you don't mind me sharing, how just the real junk that every guy has in his life, and when you get to meet with the man and you get to transparency and they share their struggle, but they can explain how Christ brings him out of that. That's just a real good connection. That's what Russell was talking about. There's a verse that sums it up very well, in my opinion, that I wanted to read to you. It's 1 Thessalonians 2:8. This is the New King James Version, but it says, "So, affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us." So, Russell was describing how affectionately Randy is in his life, and Jay is in Randy's life, and he's in your life, TJ, and just on and on it goes. And it's, you're not imparting not only the gospel of God, but your own life. That's where you really get to see how this comes to life and apply the scriptures to your life. So thank you for that, Russell. Now we're going to have Dave Rathkamp come up. It's a special treat for me to introduce him. I lived 36 years without any idea of the Bible, Jesus, God. I mean, it was nothing to me. And Dave came into my life as a friend. I was searching for help. I didn't know it would be God. I really didn't want the help from the Bible or Jesus. But Dave just befriended me, and for a year I just got to see this difference in Dave. And he was affectionately longing for me, and he was imparting his life to me, and I ended up coming to Christ through this relationship. So it's a joy to bring Dave up here to kick us off for this weekend. All right. Good.
Take me.
Yeah. It's on, right, John?
You want the microphone or try it without it?
We'll try it without the microphone first.
I'll try it without it, like I'm talking to you. If you don't hear me, just throw your hand up and we'll get the microphone. The assignment that we have is between the three of us. I'm the leadoff hitter. And then we got the number two hitter coming up tomorrow morning, and then we have the cleanup guy tomorrow afternoon. So all I'm trying to do is get on base. So if that works out, it'll be good. The challenge of what we're talking about and the topic that we have is finishing well. And the Bible talks about this walk with Christ here on the earth as a race. And so I'm not actually a racer. I'm a tennis professional, and so I played a lot of tennis, but I understand what a race is. And a race is not how you start it, but how you finish it. It's always how you finish. Now, looking up here at me, you know that it's a good chance I might finish it tonight. Could happen. But the fact is, am I ready, and have I finished from my perspective with Christ, and have I gotten there? What does that look like? So I'm 85 years old, and the process began many years ago as a businessman when another man that my wife worked for was a Christian. I didn't know what a Christian was. When she told me that he was there in the office, I asked her if he wore robes. I thought maybe I couldn't even relate that a businessman could be a Christian. I had no idea what a Christian was. So that's where I began. And then I came to Christ on the floor of my dining room, reading the Bible, and turned my heart to him. And we had a conversation. My last words that I had with him was, "There's no way that I can be a believer, Lord, because I like women too much. And I know that these Christian people only have one." And at the time, I had a number. And he said, I'll take care of that for you. And that's really all I had to need. I could then qualify. So I went down on my knees and invited Christ into my life. And that was the beginning. I woke up. All my sins had been forgiven. I had a peace that I had never known before. And I remember standing there, touching myself, and putting my hands down to my side to see if this was still me. And it was. So that's how it all began. Well, I didn't know from there. I had no idea what a Christian was or what he looked like or who he did. So I began my search. And in that search, these people who had been praying for us, who were businessmen, took an interest. They brought me in. And then a man came into my life, a guy named Joe. And Joe was an interesting dude. And he was an old Navy guy, been on a lot of ships. And he'd traveled all over the world. And he had come to Christ in Naples, Italy. A guy in the service club there led him to Christ, and then discipled him. So he had generations before him. So he had a man named Pete George, another guy before him with Pete, and then another guy was a guy named Dawson Trotman, who began the Navigators ministry. And so this lineage that we talked about is going on and moving through the whole process. So I just have three things that I'm going to talk about with you tonight. I'd like to talk to you more about man-to-man. This is not exactly man-to-man, but I'm going to talk to you about my relationship with God and how that began, how that works, and how that's working for me, and what I think is important. And I think in beginning, in finishing well, I think it's a good idea when you begin reading the Bible to find what I would call a life verse, a verse that you really like, and maybe even two. And I was encouraged to do that, and I did it. And one of these verses that I found was Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. And here's what it says. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. Now these were the three things that I gloried in. When I read this, I just said, this is me. I like wisdom. I like to do things well. I like to work with my intellect. I like to be healthy. I want to have the best tennis body that there is. And then I wanted all the money. Everything. This is what I wanted. And he says this, that's 23. He said, but let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Now, what do we glory in? What are we glorying in? And he says, when he says glory, he means my glory and his glory. So his glory is different than my glory. I glory in things that have nothing to do with him. But he says that for us to glory in that he understands and knows me. Not that he knows me, but that he understands and knows me. Two different things. So Moses, in Psalm 103:7, Moses says that, the psalmist says that Moses knew the ways of God, and the children of Israel knew the acts. So they knew all about God, but they didn't know him, and they didn't know how God did. They didn't understand. They didn't understand anything. If you look back at the children of Israel, you can realize they understood nothing. And the good thing Moses was around, because he was able to help them and steer them and move them. You know, I mean, I don't know where they would have been, right? So this is what he's saying here, is that we can understand and know God. Now, when I read that, I said, God, that's what I want. I want to understand and know you. I'm at that point. This is 47 years ago. So the process of this over the last 47 years, it's been quite a journey. I can't share all that with you tonight. But when he says this, and then he says that I am the Lord. understand and knows me that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness. Now this is the character of God. Loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. And then he says this, for in these things I delight. Now, if you ever find anything in the Bible where God says that he delights in it, which you want to get hold of? I mean, I said, that's what I want. If you delight, I'm going to delight your heart is what I want my life to be. And so this was a conversation that I had quite a few times in my early stages. And, of course, as you might guess, God did it. Anything and everything that we do and ask him for, he gives us. He's that loving, and he wants to give us just about everything. God is a great giver of gifts, is what he does. He just gives gifts freely to his people. They're all over the place. And the problem is we don't see them because we're not alert. But this is what God is doing. He's amazing. So most of my spiritual life is actually, where I've grown is in a chair. I was thinking about this, you know. I mean, I just, I get up, I go to bed at night. I usually go to bed at 10 o'clock. I wake up the next morning at 6. I like to sleep 8 hours. Sometimes it's 5:30. If I have to be in a meeting, sometimes 5. But that's where I begin. And then I used to watch the Late Show. You know, the Late Show, I used to stay up till midnight at one time. But it didn't work out for my plan with God. So I had to change all my plans around and go to bed at 10. My wife, I kiss my wife goodnight. I give her a hug. She watches. She stays up or comes to bed, whatever she'd like to do. It doesn't affect me one way or the other. And I just go on to bed. Then next morning I get up and before I go to bed, I hit the coffee. And then the button. Hit the button on the coffee when I get up in the morning. And then I go sit down. So I'm a guy that goes to bed and then gets up and sits down. It's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, sometimes I'd sit there and I'd say, Dave, what are you doing, man? I mean, there's stuff for you to do. You know, and there was for 38 to 40 years of my life, I could get up in the morning and I was hitting the road, you know. I was getting after it. And now, for the last 40 years, maybe 38 years, I get up in the morning and sit. And so next to me, where I sit, is a Bible. And I read it. And I read it through, and I've made one promise to God. Rick was telling, Spark talking about this tonight. I made one promise to God that I would read the Bible through for the rest of my life. In other words, that as long as I can read, God, as long as I can read, this is what I'm going to do. And so I read different Bibles, and it takes me usually 2 years to read the Bible. And so I read it through, and then I finish, and then I pick up another Bible, and I start it again. And then I pick up another Bible and I finish that. So I've read the Bible now about, I'd say, 22 or 23 times from cover to cover. Now, that's nothing, there's no magic to that. And it's not any big deal. All it is that's what I did. Now, you can read it 50 times and not get anything out of it. So this is not how God works. How many times you do something, or how much you do, or how many you have, or whatever you've done, makes no difference to God. So we don't know what his reward system is exactly. We don't know how we're going to end up. So we don't know what the hell is going on, basically, with him. This is the truth. So I'm going to share some truth with you tonight because you guys are all men of God. And so this is kind of a little bit of a truth serum that's going to be going on and what's really important. Now here's what I've really done. I'm going to tell you in one sentence, or maybe even one word, what I've done for the last 48 years. Nothing. I've not done a damn thing. I sit down and try to figure out, what have I done? Nothing. I really haven't. I've gone from chair to chair. I get up in the morning and I go down and I meet with some guy for breakfast and I sit down there at breakfast and I meet with a guy and we talk. And I learn from him and he learns from me. And sometimes we memorize a verse of the Bible, talk about the verse. And then we go home. I go home and I go, then I do it again. I've been doing this for, and then sometimes I have 3 or 4 guys. But my life is given to God and to men. It's sit. But it's all done in a chair. And the fact is that what I love the most is to do nothing. You know, you guys like to do nothing? Have you ever heard that? I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't always just do nothing. I do loads of things. But what I really love to do is two things. Have sex is one. I like that a lot. And I also like to do nothing. So when you do nothing, and here's how, I'm going to tell you how I learned that. I was getting ready to meet with a guy one day. I probably shouldn't record this thing. But here's how I learned this. I'm on the way to meet with this guy, and it had been one of those peculiar nights where I had been out late. I had a couple of glasses of wine, and it's now 6:30 in the morning. I'm getting ready to this guy, and I'm talking to God on the way. And I said to God, "You know, Lord, I can't meet with this guy. I got nothing to give this guy, nothing." And God said, "Dave, that's exactly where I want you to be. I don't want you to have anything. Because if you have nothing, I'll be there for you, and I'll give you everything you need." Wow, that's very unusual. I can't hardly believe this, you know. So sure enough, I get there, I show up at the restaurant, and I felt good about that because he said he would do it. So I'm sitting there at the restaurant. And I'm waiting for the guy. I'm watching a 7 o'clock meeting, and at 7:30, he's still not there. So I said, "Shit." I said, I don't know. So all of a sudden, here comes God again. He's working me. And he says, "Dave, I'll meet with you." "So you meet with me?" "Yeah." Now you can imagine, if you put yourself in my shoes, here I am sitting in the restaurant. Nobody's shown up. I'm tired. It's been a long night. I'm meeting with this guy, and I'm meeting this guy because I love God, and God is what he's doing to me. It's one of the greatest mornings of my whole life, because what I learned that morning was that there was nothing for me to do other than show up and be me, and that Christ lives in me. So I am a Christian, someone who is a believer in Christ, has another person that lives in them. And I had really not gotten in real good touch with that person that lived in me. So Christianity is a person living in a person. Isn't that amazing? Now I thought it was me with him in my heart, and I was doing most of it, and he was doing some, and he was giving me all this information. No, it was him that was doing it. So when I learned that, if I were to tell you the history of beginning with men, the first three or four men, it was really rough, you know. I didn't know what in the world I was doing. And my spiritual father was trying to teach me and show me and all these kind of things. But it took a long time just to get comfortable with God and also with men. So if you're beginning, or if you're going into this arena, which is the greatest arena there is, it's going to be difficult, it's tough, it's hard. But it is such a blessing. I have learned everything that I know. I've learned from sitting in a chair and from other businessmen that I've met with, and being able just to be still. When you hear those verses, "Be still and know that I am God." You ever heard that? Be still. You know, we can't be still. In fact, if I say this message, if you went into your business world and you said, "What did you do today? What did you do today?" "Nothing." "You did nothing? You're going to admit it?" It's ridiculous. I can't believe this. This guy did nothing today, and he said he didn't. I mean, so when we go into the business world, what do we do? What'd you do today? Well, you got to make up some stuff sometimes. Sometimes you got to make, you haven't done anything. You didn't do a damn thing. You have to make up some stuff. Well, I went to the gym. Yeah, pumped some iron. Did this and did that. I did 500 pounds today. You know, oh, wow, man. Wow. Well, see, what we're looking for is for God to say, "Wow." See, in other words, when he says, "Wow," for us as believers, then they're understanding me. This is about me and about things that I do. Okay, first thing, now that's walking. Walking with the Lord is a very simple thing. It's reading the Bible. It's memorizing some verses that you get. It's living with Him. It's looking to Him. And the second most important thing that you have is, for most of you guys have a wife. How many guys have a wife? Yeah, okay. So we've got a lot of guys here. Those that don't may have one day then, so, you know, it's still good to hear. I have this woman that lives with me, and God calls her a helpmate. That's what she is. She's a helpmate. And you know what a helpmate is? Anyone know what a helpmate is?
Is it like an assistant?
It's stuck pretty good, Ben. Yeah.
Well, this is being recorded. None of them are going to answer that question.
Okay. It's a servant. The person is a servant. So I never really got that. It took me a long time to understand that. Now, I don't call her a servant. You never call them that. That would be ridiculous. But this is what God has given each one of us. He's given each one of us a servant. Isn't that tremendous? I mean, if you got a wife, that's what you got. Now, here's what I realized for the first few years of my life, that I beat my servant terribly. And I didn't do it with a whip. But the way I treated her, I thought she was like one of my employees that worked for me, you know, that I could tell them what to do and how to do it and when. I thought that's really what it was. It wasn't. Not at all. So then, once I started realizing this, I realized that I had to change. And I have the type of woman that just beats on me. I don't know if you guys have ever had a woman like this, but they just kind of chip at you. She's chipping at me, you know, like chipping. And working me all the time. And so I would always justify myself, and I'd get into these deals with her and with God, trying to figure all these things out. And I decided that when I got up in the morning, what I would do, when I sat down, first thing I would do would pray for her. So I began in the morning when I got up, I would just sit there and I'd pray for Donna. And not a big long, I just say, Lord, when I wake up, I just say, good morning, Lord, and here I am again, and nice to see you. And then I'll say, I pray for Donna this morning. She's in there sleeping. Some mornings she's there, some mornings she's up. But I pray for Donna. I pray that Donna would be who you want her to be, and that she would be yours, and whatever. So, no. But this praying for her really began to change me, because a lot of times as I was praying for her, God would let me know that I was the one that needed to be changing, making changes. And He would start bringing these changes about. So the next thing is that I was always meeting with men, but I never met with her. So I would go up in the morning running all over the city, meeting with all these guys. And for about probably 5 years, she just didn't even say anything. But in her heart, she felt that I loved men more than I loved her. So I was out of whack. So when Jesus says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave His life for it. So this is what I had to get in my heart. I had to get myself to a place where I would give myself to her. So I would say to her things like, would you like to meet with me today or tomorrow morning? Yeah, she would. I found out that she really would. And so then I realized that she wanted me to listen to her, what she had to say. I didn't like that very much either. And it was like very different from men, you know. And it was uncomfortable. But as time went along and I invited her into my life more, things got better. Got a lot better. And then the third one was I just let her alone. I let her be. And this is the greatest, really. I mean, one of the guys that was discipled me made this statement one day, and I had trouble. He said, you have trouble with your wife? I said, what's your problem? I said, well, she's just always, the way she spends money on everything. She spends all my money, you know. He said, well, does she spend all of it? I said, well, no, not all of it, you know, but she spends a lot of money. said, well, you know, Dave, he said, if you have money, it's not yours, it's hers too, and she has a right to spend it just like you do. So do you trust your wife? I said, yeah, I trust her. So well, just anything she wants, just give it to her. Can you imagine that? Does that compute with any of you guys? That is stupid. I said, that's stupid. I'm listening to this, you know. And it took me 15 years to get it. But that is true. She's not. My wife didn't want to bankrupt me. I thought she wanted to bankrupt me. You know. I mean, she didn't. She loves me. She loved me. And so now I've just let her go and let her alone. And I just let her do some of the stuff she does. It's crazy. I'll give you an example. She has a purse, and she puts things in it called monies, M-O-N-I-E-S. And what that means is they're all like different denominations. And if you said, well, how much do you have in your purse? She has no idea. No idea. Well, let me see if I have any monies. She makes statements like that. Well, I don't relate to that at all. You know, I know exactly right now. I know how much I have here. $48. She doesn't know any idea. So I had to let all that go, and now she's the freest woman. And what I freed her up to for, I freed her up to learn to love me. So I am finally learning what that means to love my wife as Christ loved the church. He gave himself for it. Everything he had, he gave to her. I'm beginning to get that. I go to Kroger sometimes. I stop in the Kroger, pick up a couple of things. I like to get a sushi on Wednesday, $6. And so when I go into Kroger, I go into Kroger now, I go by the flower section. And I go in, you know, and all of a sudden I find myself and I'm going right toward the flowers all the time, you know. And you can get some pretty good deals. They have a throwaway group there, you know. You can actually get them in a pot. You can get somebody pretty good. And then I cut off the deal and I give her the flowers. And every time I give her those flowers, she grabs me and hugs me. I mean, just hugs me. You know, it's like she won't let go. Yeah. Does that compute to you guys? It doesn't make sense. I mean, I don't make sense out of that. I'm telling you, it still doesn't make sense. But I'm seeing the fruit now. The fruit is just amazing of her life. I mean, it's wonderful. Well, it's taken years to get here, you know. So I'm sharing this, I'm giving you this information for a lot of you guys. And I mean, you can cut the corner by a lot. But it's ridiculous. And it doesn't make sense. Stupid. I thought it was stupid. 15 years to learn one truth about a woman, you know. Okay. So, at this point, when this happens, and you are obedient to this, to love in this way, God will begin meeting with you in a whole new way. He's really interested in this woman deal. This husbands love your wife as Christ loved the church. I mean, I'm telling you. I began, the revelation of God increased greatly with me. I mean, greatly. Where he was moving in me, where he was revealing himself to me, where it was a different relationship. So, I look at that, the first two things, most important, personal relationship with Christ, with God, figuring that out. And by the way, I'll say to you, it took me 3 years as a believer to get anything consistent. So when I hear, even in our movement, guys, you got to meet with God. You got to meet with God. I tried, you know. I couldn't get there. I mean, it was just hard. I mean, I was so full of my work, I couldn't do that. So I would just I'd go to meetings like this, and if they had anyone was talking about private time with God, I'm waiting before the meeting starts. You know, I want to find out what that was all about. But I couldn't get there. So it just takes, I'm God is very patient. And so we have to work with these things ourselves. You don't leave this and just run home and think, what's going to happen? It's not. This is all seed. So, probably not too long. Okay. All right, last pot. This is the pot I really like, as much as anything. And that is involving ourselves with men, which is Isaiah 60:22. Isaiah 60:22, a little one shall become a thousand. Yes, a small one, a mighty nation. I, the Lord, and the version I like says, will hasten it in my time. I will make it happen when I'm ready. I said, that was relief for me, I'll tell you. It was such relief. I was trying to lead people to Christ. I was trying to tell people about Christ. I saw zero conversions in my first 3 years as a Christian. Zero. So I knew something was wrong. So I was with a guy one day, and he said, he told me about this verse, and he said, you know, Dave, he said, what do you really love? What do you love? What I really love is women. I mean, I love women. I really did. I mean, I couldn't get enough of them. I really love women. What do you like about them? And I don't want to be too graphic here, but you know what I liked. So he said, well, maybe the end of life for you is you'll be laying on a conveyor belt. And you know what Psalm 139 says, that verse 6, he says, you'll be laying on a conveyor belt on your back, and you'll have all these different kinds of women for eternity come over you, right over your nose and everything else. You can have all that stuff if you really like them that much. God will, he says he'll give you the desires of your heart. I walked away from that meeting that day, and it turned my stomach. It really did. I mean, he shocked me. But I was around men. I was raised up with men that weren't afraid to speak and to talk and to say, this is what this means. And this is what God is talking about. And this is how you relate to it. So this is what he was saying. You know, this is what you want. So I came back to him. I met with him another time. And the next time we talked about it, I let him know that I did not want to do that. I'm talking to God. I'm praying about that. I'm disgusted with it, with my thinking, with my mind. And then he began talking to me about Isaiah 60:22. And he was explaining that, can you imagine when you get to heaven that you're going to have 1,000 people that you've influenced going to be there? Can you imagine that? That's what's going to happen to me. You know why it's going to happen to me? Not because of anything I've done. You know why? Come on.
God promised it.
Huh?
Because God promised it.
Yeah, he promised it, and I believed it. You see, I'm a very dumb guy. I am. I'm very dumb. I believe these things, some of these things, and when I believe them, he does them. So I just said, I'm gonna believe that. Isaiah 60:22. That's what I want, God. Please, help me with that. And if you'll notice, the last part of it says, I, the Lord, will do it in my time. When I'm ready. So I'm involved with people, I'm involved with guys, I meet with guys, and I'm believing that he's gonna do that. Well, the evidence is over the last 45 years. I mean, I don't know, we don't know exactly what this all means or how it is, but I know it's going to happen because I can see that some of the remains of people that I've left, that I've chewed up. And I'll give you an example. The third guy I met was Steve. Steve lives in Atlanta. He's an attorney. I had met with two guys that were really, didn't do well at all, didn't stay the course. They couldn't go very far along. But Steve did. He got it. And Steve, I had this year, now Steve is about the same age I am, I got a text from him at Christmas time, beautiful text, and thanking me for being with him during these years. When I met with Steve, he was probably 28, 30 years old, and he had two little children and a wife that was a mess. And he found his wife one day wrapped up in a rug down in the basement when he came to the meeting and asked me what to do. I mean, this is the third guy I met with. I have no idea. I didn't know what I was doing. But I said, well, why don't we just ask God about it, Steve? I mean, I don't know what to do with that. Let's just talk to God. So we talked to God. And this is how it began. Well, he finished when I went to Houston shortly after that. This was in Atlanta. I moved to Houston, and Steve, from that time that we met, when we finished, Steve said, Dave, I have been a psychiatrist now for about 5 years, and I've spent $25,000 on, this is like in the late 70s, $25,000 on psychiatrists. And he said, I've learned more here the time we've been together than I've ever could think about from the psychiatrist. My life has changed, healed. So this is Steve. Steve is still doing this 45 years later. He meets with men consistently, constantly. So what do you think about my investment into Steve's life? Did I know what I was doing? Not really. So what happened? Who did something?
God.
God. Yeah, God. Yeah. So see, this is, so when it's committed to him, all we have to do is show up and he will do it. I think it's exciting. A little one shall become a thousand, yes, a small and a mighty nation. Can you imagine an insignificant person like me having a thousand people or a mighty nation of people? I mean, I have nothing. But God, that's what he does. It's the kind of stuff that he does. And he takes people who don't know that much. Dummies like, I don't know if you guys are dummies or not, if you see yourself as really an intellect and very extremely smart, but I'm not. And he just uses people like me. Now, it takes time with these men, and it takes, for instance, if a woman has a baby, how long does it take?
9 months.
It takes 9 years to build a man, build a disciple. We have found that in our city, that to get full growth is 9 years. And most people think, oh, 9 years. I can cut that short. It's not a problem. I'm a smart guy. You know, I know a lot of stuff, and I've learned a lot of stuff. I know the Bible, I know Jesus. I'm saying it takes 9 years. Do you think that's true, Bradley?
Yes.
Yeah. Why? Why do you think it's true?
I was that guy that said, no, I'll get this list faster. Oh, yeah, number one. And it's just, at 5 years, it was almost a crisis of, have I actually even learned anything? I almost felt like I'd gone backwards for a little bit just in trying to figure it out. And then, no, I think it just, I was learning all the time.
Okay. So what we think and what God thinks and what it takes, this is a process of time, it's a process of being with men, it's a process of learning to love God. So finishing well is that hopefully, you know, this message that I'm sharing with you guys tonight, if one guy gets it, one of you get it, wow. Won't take too many generations to go through for these guys. It's happening in Houston. Loads of guys have caught the vision of it. I don't say loads. Loads is not a good name. 18 maybe? That's a lot, don't you think? It's a lot of guys. I'd say, would you guess 18? Yeah, 18, 19, 20, maybe. Yeah. So everybody doesn't get it, and everybody's not willing to trust them to that degree. So the greatest enemy of this, now I'm going to share that with you at close. The greatest enemy of what I'm talking about and what we're doing is religion. Going away. And if you want some, when Jay comes up, Jay understands it really, really well. And Tom does also. So I'm like the leadoff hitter, but these guys will explain some of what religion does to us. I mean, I understand it also, but it's about the end of my time. So any thoughts or anything? I'll say one more thing about women. The women thing really kills me. because I'm really enjoying my wife these days. And I said to her the other day, I said, would you like to memorize a verse with me? No. I said, okay. Okay. So, and she goes, what verse you memorizing? This is about 10 minutes later. What verse you memorizing? I said, 1 John 4:18. So what did that say? I said, I haven't memorized it yet. And I asked her, would you like to do it with me? She said, well, so I memorized it. I told her what the verse was. The verse says, there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. But he who fears has not been perfected in love. So what we're learning, basically, is not to be afraid to love. And so anyway, this is the end of that story. She comes up to me a week later. She says, how are you doing with that verse? I said, well, still working at it. It's coming slower, actually, tell you the truth. I thought I'd have it by now. But she rattled it off to me. She's very competitive, you know. She rattled it off. So what happened in the past, I would have said something to her about it. But I don't do any of that anymore. I would have said, why don't you want to memorize a verse with me? You a Christian? Something along that line, you know. But I just let her do what she wants to do, and it's a beautiful thing. Because whatever she wants to do, she does. And that's how it comes up. So. Okay, any thoughts? Questions?
You mentioned when you asked about Isaiah 63:2, you said, you know, what did I do? Nothing. So who did it? Or you know, why did you do it? At first I said because he promised, and then you quickly said, and I believed. And it took me a second, but are you saying that it is kind of like Hebrews 11:6, that without faith it's impossible to please him? That, are you saying that this is by faith? Yeah, he'll make the promise, but you claim it by the faith.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's what we've got to do. That's our work, believing it. Yeah. When in John 6, you guys all know John 6, and he says, what do we do to work the works of God? He said, believe on him who he sent. That's all. Not just that he did it, but believe him. All that he said, believe him and do it. That's very difficult. You know, we all talk about these wonderful verses and these wonderful things. How much of them are we doing? Good question. Good, Bradley. Thank you. Thank
That's
you.
It, David.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, David. Let's
take
this.
Dave's on base. So, we're going to have ice cream here in a little bit. The key tomorrow is to wake up and have a quiet time from 6 to 7 earlier, whatever you want. But we'll be back in here at 7 a.m. for breakfast, and they'll get us kicked off for the day. So, we'll adjourn from here, and thank you, Dave. But it does sound crazy to not do anything, but the fruit is there. So, you know, it's evidence to see the fruit of it. Thank you. That's wonderful. Great. Sir.
Give us a few minutes. No, we're just a little bit behind.
All right.
What verse was it?
I'm going to be crazy. I think there was an email that got lost.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever have it?
Dude, that is straight motor oil, bro.
When it started?
No, what is it?
My heart rate's up, dude. Like, I made it, yeah. I'm alright, I'm ready to run. Give me another one, two or three more, and then pop. Oh, we're being recorded.
Oh, I gotta turn it off.
I was trying to turn it off.